Hi, I'm so glad that you tuned in today to join me with a little bit of worship in our homes. This is a sermon that I'm going to share with you today that was preached on Advent 2, which was December 8th, and this was preached at Humbercrest United Church in Toronto. The sermon is called Peace Can't Wait, and it's based on a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And I'm just going to read that for you right now. So let's listen for the Word of God. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all of the region around the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is coming more powerful than I will be after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Thanks be to God for the reading of this word. So this is called Peace Can't Wait. Okay, so I will be the first to admit that John the Baptist is not the first person who comes to mind when you think of peace. He was a prophet, a wild man, a renegade, and even by first century Palestinian times, John was a radical, his attire a little too sketchy for a messenger of God. The last prophet to dress that way was probably Elijah, a good 800 or so odd years before John. He was hardly in keeping for the times, even for the little backwater villages of the Judean desert. But it wasn't just his clothes that seemed out of place and out of time. His message itself was a radical departure from the established patterns of the time. And no wonder. Exiled to the desert, John had had plenty of time to critique the status quo, to yearn for peace and to listen for God. In a world where religious expression was limited largely to the temple, and controlled exclusively by a group of elite chief priests, in a political climate that was under the authority of the occupying forces of Rome, John knew that peace was needed and that God was going to do a new thing. And it was time to prepare the way. And the people came. In fact, they didn't just come. Scripture tells us they poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear him and see him in action. And they didn't just look, they didn't just listen. Feeling themselves that peace can't wait, brave and radical souls repented and rejoiced their way right into that river. And in the earliest days of his desert preaching, this was a successful ministry. The people who came down to that river were people who got it, people who looked at the current system they were living in, looked at the religion they knew and loved, and wanted to revive it. People who wanted to make room for the Spirit of God to enter into their lives and their world. They wanted to bring religious expression and personal faith relationship back to the people and infuse it with new life and new voices. They caught John's passion and knew not only that God was going to be entering into their life in a new way, but knew too that they wanted to be a part of it. As is so often the case, the more these people bought into John's message, the more word spread. Soon, more and more people were flocking to the desert to experience this new life in baptism that John promised. Soon, even the leaders of the community, the movers and shakers, the influential and the rich, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were showing up because it was becoming the in thing to do. John's deliciously counterculture message was rapidly deteriorating to the realm of pop culture. And that was the problem that John began addressing as more and more people came. His fit at the riverbank is hardly savvy, but he does get his point across, calling those who gathered a brood of vipers. He's frustrated, and his yearning for peace, for real peace that comes from justice and faith lived out, is reaching a fevered pitch. He wants his ministry to really mean something to the people, to not just be a show. He wants the message of God to transform them, to change them. He wants to see them commit to being a part of this realm of peace and justice that God is creating. So John tells them, not only do their motivations not cut it, but the public actions they are taking at the river are only mile one of this path to wholeness that he is pointing to. Real living transformation comes from someplace much deeper and requires a heck of a lot more work than a dunk in the river. But it is so worth it, because one is coming who is more radical, more loving, more inclusive, more transformative than anyone or anything this world has ever known. And when this one comes, this word made flesh, this love of God in human form, when he comes, he will introduce a whole new world, a whole new way of being. So it isn't just enough to sit around and wait passively for it to happen. The children of God who have ears to hear and eyes to see have to get out there in the world and prepare the way for the one who is coming, so that this love and grace can just walk straight through their doors and enter their lives. And that is challenging. That is the challenge of Advent, actually, to risk opening our hearts and our lives to this love of God that is here with us now in this place in our lives and breaking in every day in the world around us. To make this ministry and this worship mean something. That is what this is about. It is about more than just preparing for the birth of the baby at the stable at Christmas. It's about making room for that baby, that man, whom love and grace will transform into the risen Christ. It is about committing ourselves to making room for that love in our lives, not just now, but every day. And that will be a challenge. That will be a challenging, wonderful thing. Because when we do it, when we really commit ourselves, as John says, to making straight the path for this love to enter in, we are called to lay down our defenses and be moved to the core by a depth of love that is unimaginable. We are called to lay down our own sense of power and control as the Spirit enters our lives, stretching and challenging us with new ideas, new opportunities, new ways of living in relationship, and new ways of reflecting God's love in this world. We are called to get over ourselves and see that each of us is called to be co-creators, not just in our own lives, in our small corner of the world, but co-creators of a new creation, a creation where the weak, poor, and oppressed are given voices and freedoms, where we are humbled and awed by God's limitless grace, love, and capacity for new life. And you want to be a part of it. You yearn for that peace that comes from deeper relationship with God. That's why you're here. That's why you tune in. You are here because you know you want and need to be a part of something more. And this morning, John, in his uniquely aggressive and strange way, pointing to the path that will bring you to that more you are looking for. And if you are willing to begin walking on that path, it'll take you to places in yourself that will surprise you, shock you, thrill you. It will invite you to look at the world in ways that you just never imagined. It will stretch you and challenge you and change your mind even when you thought your mind was unchangeable. And the delightful thing about our scripture story this morning is that even John, the one who wholeheartedly pushes us to jump on this path, even John will find out for himself what a challenge this can be. Because even he was not totally prepared for where the commitment to the path of Jesus would take him. John, whose message was a hard-hitting call to repentance, was called by Jesus to preach a path of welcome and forgiveness, challenged to view God and God's people in new and different light. Frederick Buchner, in his whimsical book, Peculiar Treasures, A Biblical Who's Who, points out that it would be no surprise at all if John himself had second thoughts about this whole Jesus character when he finally meets him. After all, Buchner says, where John preached grim justice and pictured God as a steely-eyed thresher of grain, Jesus preached forgiving love and pictured God as the host at a marvelous party, or a father who can't bring himself to throw his children out even when they spit in his eye. Where John said people had better save their skins before it was too late, Jesus said it was God who saved their skins, and even if you blew the whole bankroll on liquor and partying, like the prodigal son, it still was never too late. Where John ate locusts and honey in the wilderness with the church crowd, Jesus ate whatever he felt like in Jerusalem with as sleazy a bunch as you could expect to find. Where John crossed to the other side of the street if he saw sinners heading his way, Jesus seems to have preferred their company. Where John baptized, Jesus healed. And as unpredictable as a life of faith may be, there is one guarantee we have, that around every corner, whatever else may be waiting, healing love and grace, the peace we need, is breaking in around us. So whether you are new to the church, new to faith, or as old as Moses, in this Advent season, this new year in the church, you are invited to join us in making the path straight, because Christ is coming, and peace, the true deep peace that comes from ministry in action and faith lived out, can't wait. Now is time to prepare the way. Amen. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and spending a bit of it with me. It is always a blessing, and I pray that God will fill your life with hope, peace, and opportunities to grow in faith in the coming weeks. Take care, and God bless.